The reading this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 31, and can be found on page 1022 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." May God help us to understand those words.
When I was at primary school, I remember doing a particular science experiment. And what we did was we had a range of sunflower seeds. We had a whole load of sunflower seeds. And we planted them to grow them. And what we did is we was looking at what does it need for a seed to grow. And one of the things that you might think a seed would need to grow was soil. So one of the seeds, we decided we're going to leave out the soil. We'll give it everything else it needs, but we'll leave out the soil. Another thing you think it might need would be water. So that one we put in the soil, but we made sure it was dry. There was no water going to it. Another thing a seed might need is light. So we made a cover and we put it over the pot for that particular plant. Another thing would be warmth. So one of the plant pots we put in the fridge. And then we kind of left them, most of them on a windowsill, one in the fridge, one with a cover over it, one we were watering regularly, one it was in a pool of water but with no soil. And one we kind of put in soil and we watered it and it was getting warmth and it was getting light to see what difference it would make. And after a couple of weeks, we went back and we looked at these things again. Now, if it had just been down to me, I would have forgotten to water them, and all sorts of things would have gone wrong. But for these ones, we came back to them, and the teacher had been very good and made sure that everything was done that was meant to be done. And the plant that had had no water, there was nothing. It was just soil. There was not a shoot. There was nothing at all. The plant that was just in the water, it had sprouted a few roots that were kind of, you could almost see them going around, is there anything we can latch hold of? But it was a bit of a nothing. The plant that had no light had grown, and it had grown quite tall, but it was very pale, almost yellow, and kind of desperately trying to move towards the light. The one in the fridge, someone had mistaken for a packed lunch and eaten. That's not necessarily strictly true. Hadn't grown, I suspect. And although whenever we opened it, there was definitely light. I think when we shut it, maybe it was deprived of that as well. But the seed that had gone into the soil, that had been regularly watered, that was getting the warmth of the sunshine coming through the window onto it and the light coming, had grown, and it had grown well, and it had grown strong. And eventually we were able to see the flowers grow on that particular seed. You see, there are elements of things that are needed for a seed to grow. I checked online, that experiment apparently is still being done in a number of schools. Some of you may well be thinking, yes, I've done that one. But for us to grow as disciples, we also need a number of elements. I'm not going to suggest you go and bury yourself in the ground when you go home. But there are things that we need to do. And one of the things, you may already be getting tired of hearing it, but we are going to keep going on about this for a few weeks, is that our purpose at Hartford Baptist Church is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so far, as we've gone through this series, looking at our purpose, looking at our values, we very much focused on leading people who are not in relationship with Jesus into that relationship. But this morning, I want us to focus in much more on how that relationship grows. We will look at that passage from John and some of what is said there that is so helpful. But before we do that, there's a verse from 1 Corinthians. You may remember when we were looking through that letter, particularly part of it last year, where Paul is writing, and they're not really sure whether Paul is someone they should take any notice of or not. And he describes his relationship with them this way. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And as we look this morning at what it takes for our relationship with God to grow, we need to recognize first and foremost it is God that brings the growth. But as well as looking at our purpose, we're also looking at our value statements. And one of our value statements is put this way. We already looked at the first half of it a few weeks ago when Crosslinks were here with us. But God desires an intimate relationship with every person through Christ. And this relationship is nurtured through collective and personal worship, prayer, Bible study, and meditation. And I think as we look into this morning, we're going to see that actually, as church together, we have a part to play in that. For you as an individual, you have a part to play in that, and we still recognize that it is God that makes it grow. So first of all, what is HBC's role? Hartford Baptist Church, what is it that we should be doing to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, the things that were there on that list. Worship. Now, worship is not just singing songs. I know you know that, but actually that's the one that we often, oh, I can never worship here, because it's not the song I like. Who cares? The songs that we sing are to glorify God, not to give us a warm, fuzzy feeling. But actually, worship is more than the songs that we sing. It is the lifestyle that we live. It is the way that every part of all that we are, of all that we do, should be bringing glory and praise and honor to God. The speech that comes out of our mouths, the thoughts that go through our mind, the things we do to help others, all of it is there to bring glory and worship and praise to God. It is for His honor. Not for mine, not for yours. So worship is a key part of it. Prayer is a key part of it. We need, as a congregation, to be praying together. Now, some of you began, well, that's quite rich. I know you prayed for John and Katani, but we've not had really any other prayer in the service. We will be a little bit later on. But actually, prayer needs to be a mark of who we are if we're growing in our relationship. Because you can't grow in relationship with someone unless you're talking to them. If Christy and I don't talk to each other, and we just end up sitting looking at our phones, which occasionally happens, it doesn't build that relationship. It's not a growing relationship. But of course, it's not just us communicating with God through prayer. He communicates with us, and so we study the Bible together. And then the fourth one from that list, meditation. Perhaps reflection is maybe a better word for it now, because it has a few less connotations from Eastern religions. But taking that time to really reflect, to think, to just spending that time in the presence of God. And as we do those things, we will find our faith rise, our faith will grow. But I want to suggest maybe a few other things that weren't included in that value statement that we looked at. Actually, fellowship, spending time together, is so important. And that's partly what we do on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons, evenings when we do that. It's partly when you go around and you invite people to come to your home. It's partly what we do as we gather in home groups. That also gives Bible study and prayer and all of those things happening there as well. But we grow in our faith as we spend time together sharing life. Openly, honestly, sharing the joys and sharing the sorrows. We also grow in our faith as we serve together. And people here serve in so many different ways. There are those who serve us musically. There are those who serve stewarding on the doors, arranging beautiful flowers. There are those where maybe we don't quite see the things that they do, but we'd notice if it wasn't done. Those who go and visit those who are struggling. Those who are currently through or would often go through for this time in the service to be serving amongst our children and young people. Those who clean, those who administer, those who do all sorts of different ways. And of course, beyond that, those who go outside our building to serve. I don't just mean Peter in the gardening. But those who take the love of God beyond our walls, beyond our immediate community, to show God's love in action. As we do that, yes, it's a blessing to them, but we also find our own faith, our own relationship with Christ grows. And then the final one that I wanted to put in, only because I was starting to run out of space on the screen, is witness. Actually speaking of our faith. And the more we do that, again, the more we see our own relationship with God grow. And sometimes that's because you'll talk to someone and they'll ask a question and you go, I don't know. And it gives you the incentive to go and find out. But also as we share our faith, you get such a sense, the Holy Spirit coming through you, guiding you, giving you things to say that you would never have thought of on your own. And we grow in relationship. But you see, Hartford Baptist Church's role is not to do those things so that you don't have to. Hartford Baptist Church's role is to provide a place in which we can do those things together. I cannot worship on your behalf. I can pray for you, but I can't pray on your behalf. I do study the Bible, trying to hear what God is saying through that for us as a congregation, but I can't do it on your behalf exclusively, so that you wouldn't need to do it. And it's very difficult to fellowship on my own. What we do as church is we provide a space where these things can happen. That's the church's role, but your role is actually to participate in them. To participate in them. Now, there are those here who are a part of a home group through the week. And you know, it's one of the best things in the week, because you come together and you've got fellowship and you read the Bible together and you pray. You reflect on it. There's an element of worship within that. And you go, this is just brilliant. And there are some of you that go, oh, I suppose I could go to one of those. I've never really thought about it, because life gets busy and I wasn't really sure I'd have space or time to do it. But if you're not in a home group, please, when you go through those doors at the end of the service, even if you'd normally go out that way, have a little look on your left-hand side. And we've got photographs of our home group leaders up there. And they are, I mean, they're amongst the most physically attractive people in the church anyway. I like the way Wilma there, you just looked immediately at Christy. Her photo's not up there yet. But Christy is also leading a home group. She's taking it over from Paul. And look and think, well, actually, yeah, mostly I'm free on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday evening. Is there a group I could join? There's one or two that meet during the day. Places where you come together and you can participate. Last night, as John and Kitani were sharing about what God was doing in Zimbabwe, they talked about a massive proportion of people in Zimbabwe would identify as saying, we are Christians. And then John said, but you know, some of them, they don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They're not praying. They're not doing those things that we would identify and say, well, those are the kind of things that Christians do. And I suspect that's not unique to Zimbabwe. I suspect there are some of us here who we go, well, actually, no, I'm not reading the Bible myself. I'm not praying myself. My life is not one that speaks of the worship of God. When it comes to fellowship, I really only come if there's not a better offer. I don't serve. I'm really here to see what I can get out of it. And as far as witness goes, I'm not even sure what I'd be talking about. But actually, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, these are the things in which we have to personally and corporately participate. And as that passage in John's Gospel that Pat read for us, it points to two more things. Firstly, that we must practice love. If you love me, then we practice love for God. We practice love for each other. We practice love for those beyond our walls. And as we do that, we also find that we can love ourselves in who God has made us and all that he has made us to be. But as we do that, if you love me, then you will obey my commands. And obedience is not a popular thing today. Obedience, bringing yourself under the lordship of God through Jesus Christ, is not a popular thing, because we live in a culture that says, actually, I'm the one that's in charge. I am the Lord of my life. I will do what I want to do, and I'll do it when I want to do it. And if that is the heart that you have this morning, you will not be growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Or you sit and you listen to teaching and you go, well, I don't like that. That doesn't fit with what I'd like to hear. Therefore, I will ignore it. That is placing ourselves above Scripture. It's more than that, placing ourselves above God. That's not to say we don't listen critically. I can be just as capable of getting it wrong up here as you are. And we engage our minds. And if you hear something from this pulpit, whether it's me, whether it's somebody else, and you go, no, that's wrong, fine, let us know. Maybe not straight away. But let us know. But if it just doesn't happen to fit our particular prejudices, our particular preconceived ideas, that is not enough of a reason to say, I don't need to obey that bit. The forgiveness bit. The love bit. The loving your enemies bit. Jesus did not come to make our lives easy. He came to make us more like Jesus. Jesus didn't have an easy time of it. So we shouldn't expect that either. So there is a role for us as church to make a place where these things can happen. There is a role for you individually to participate in those things. And particularly a call from God that we practice love, that we practice obedience. But when we looked at that verse from Corinthians earlier on, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. God has a part to play as well. My experience is, and what I see in Scripture is, God is the most willing of the three. God is more willing to help you grow in your faith than you are, or even that we are as a church. So what is God's role? Well, it is to provide two things. The Holy Spirit. The promise that's there in Scripture is that if you give your life over to Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God himself will come and live in you. That when Jesus says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that is because the Spirit of Christ will be in you. And it's very hard to get away from where you are. Because you'll follow yourself everywhere you go. And every Christian has the Holy Spirit within them. We are encouraged again and again to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the more freedom we allow the Holy Spirit in our lives, the more those lives will reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. The more we try and keep God at arm's length, the more our lives will only reflect whatever glory we think we have. And the longer we go, the less glory that will be. But as God's Spirit works within us, he will shape you and make you more like Jesus. And then we find the other gift of God, the gift of peace. Jesus says, I give peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not worry, do not be afraid. This is the peace that Jesus Christ is speaking about on the eve of his crucifixion. He is about to be arrested. He is about to be tortured. He is about to be executed as a blasphemer when all he has done is speak truth and be truth. That's the peace he offers you. Not a freedom from problems and hassles and stresses and strains and inconveniences, but a peace in spite of them. So we have said, we have previously agreed as a church that our purpose is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We've talked about how this relationship is nurtured through collective and personal worship, prayer, Bible study and meditation. I've suggested maybe we should include fellowship, service, witness within that. I was really touched. It happens on a fairly regular basis, but really touched this morning, and knowing I was going to speak a little bit about the need to serve, that this morning I had three people arrive who were just, what can I do to help? What can I do to shape things, to make this better? How can I get involved? Now, Darren just gave me a little bit of a look, because he knows who those three people are. They are his children. From the lips of children and infants, great things come. I wish it wasn't just children I heard that from. What can I do? How can I get involved? How can I be a part of making this great? And it's just wonderful. It blesses my heart. And I did say to Esme, yes, you will now be an illustration in my sermon. You can tell her that she was. But the question I want to leave you with before we move on to communion is this question: what is God asking you to do so that you can grow in your relationship with him? Now, it may be that you're sitting there this morning and you go, actually, my relationship with God through Jesus Christ is perfect. I have nailed every aspect of it and I am incredible. Maybe in that case, humility might be the thing that you need to do to humble yourself to grow in that relationship. But I suspect for most of us here, we're looking and we're thinking, well, actually, I want it to be something more than it currently is. Is it that you need to take that Bible off the shelf and open it and start reading it? Is it that you need to be making time regularly to pray? To giving your, not just your singing, but your life over to worship. To meditate, reflect, taking that time, which for many of us is our most precious commodity, to just spend in the presence of God. Is it that actually God is saying, look, you're only an occasional person here. You need to be regularly in fellowship. Maybe it's joining a home group. Finding an area in which you can serve. Taking the opportunities to witness. But as we step into those things, you will find your relationship with God through Jesus Christ grows and blossoms and flourishes. And you'll become more like Jesus. And there is no greater prize, no greater thing on offer than becoming like Jesus. So what's God asking you to do? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you have called us into a growing relationship with you. Please forgive us for those times we've taken that for granted. And we've let it get stunted. We pray, Father, that as we know you are willing to send your Holy Spirit to grant us peace as we live in loving obedience to you. Guide us on what we must do individually and what we must do corporately to grow in that relationship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.